Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me. Today on the Word Podcast, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to finish the chapter today. So let's look at this whole chapter. What, it's 13 verses long. And we sort of understand what's happening now. Verse 1 says this: "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." So he lays down the gauntlet from the very beginning. He says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Does that mean we're not to have knowledge? No, we're to have knowledge. We're to know things. But don't beat people over the head with your knowledge, particularly, as we will see at the end of the chapter, the weaker brother. Verse 2, "If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God." So he's saying love is the driving force here. Now, verse 4, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there's no such thing as an idol in the world, but there is no God but one." He says this: we know that there's no such thing as an idol in the world, and we know that there is no God but one. But, verse 5, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him." I don't think I can drive that home enough there, folks, that God the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things exist. We exist through Him. Now, verse 7, "However, not all men have this knowledge." So he's saying not everybody knows this. Not all men have the knowledge that there really is no idol. Not all men have the knowledge that since there are no idols, food offered to idols have really not been offered to idols. Okay, the food is just food. But not everybody has that knowledge. "But some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled." So he's saying that these folks are really believers, but they're weaker brothers. And they're eating this food that has been offered to an idol, but they're not convinced of it. They're used to, accustomed to the idol having this food offered to it and thinking that it's now the idol's food. And he said their conscience is weak and is defiled because of this. Verse 8, "But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." So the believers that knew that they had liberty to eat this food that had been offered an idol, since idols don't exist, they were eating it, and it was becoming a stumbling block to the weak. In the way that they were eating it, I don't think they were necessarily, though they might have been, throwing it in their face, you know, saying, "Hey, we're free to do this." I do know that they do it in such a way that it was causing some stumbling. Verse 10, "For if anyone or someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols?" And so he's saying, if someone sees you and you're sitting in the idol's dining room and he sees you eating this, then he's going to be strengthened. He's weak, but he's going to be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols. So he's a weak brother, and he's going to say, "Well, Bubba there is eating that, so I guess it's okay for me to eat it." And he eats it even though he's not convinced of it. It defiles his conscience. His conscience bothers him. And we're going to find out through the balance of the 1 Corinthians that each man does is determined in his own heart. It's okay if your conscience bothers you, don't do it. Nothing wrong with that. But don't be braggadocious about the freedom, and don't let your freedom and liberty cause a brother to stumble. That's what he's about to say right now, verse 11. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And he uses some pretty powerful terms right here. He says, your knowledge and your use of your knowledge and your living out this knowledge will ruin this brother. You know, I'm reminded of a time when I was in college. We had a big gig and actually made some money off something. So me and a couple of friends rode off to the next big city, which is about an hour's drive away from where I went to college. And we were sitting there. I think we were at a Red Lobster. That would have been a big trip for us back then. And my two friends were sitting there, and they were having an adult beverage with their meal. And they said, hey, man, why don't you join us with this? And, you know, and they thought I was sort of being judgmental with them because I wasn't, drinking their adult beverage. I said, no, man. I have no problem with you drinking your adult beverage. I had no problem with that at all. But and I was actually like leading music and doing youth stuff at the church. I said, what if one of my young people walked in and saw me drinking an adult beverage with you? I know that I have the freedom to do that. And I know I have the liberty to do that. But I don't want one of them, even though I'm an hour away, the possibility of them walking in and causing them to stumble. Both my friends looked at me and said, oh, that's cool. We understand that. I mean, they really did. They thought it was great. Now, there is a fine line here, okay? And I think God leads you in all of this to where you don't want your liberty to be squashed because of somebody else's weakness or somebody else is doing something. But you need to be willing to set aside your liberty. A lot of times people say, well, that's just being a hypocrite. You think you can do it, but you're not going to do it in front of somebody because you're afraid that they're going to see you. No. You don't want your brother to stumble. Look what he says in these last two verses. And so, well, let me start 11 again. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. He's saying it's actually a sin. It's actually a sin. Now, well, the religionist turned this on you. Oh, sure. But that's a religionist doing it. That's someone who is got another agenda afoot that will sit there and say, oh, well, I saw you. You know, I've actually had this thing. I saw you playing music in this place, and they served the kind of food that I don't approve of. You know, that kind of thing. That's a religionist thing, and I'm not going to succumb to that type of thing. But you don't want to wound the consciousness of a weak brother. If you do, then that is a sin on your part against Christ. Last verse for the day, 1 Corinthians 8:13. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Now, Paul was not saying, okay, because there may be a possibility that somebody's peeking through the window and sees me eating a steak. And they may think that it was offered to some idol or something. So therefore, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. No, you don't live that type of life. He was using some hyperbole right here saying, you know what? If food's going to cause my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again. I'll never eat meat again. So I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. That's the point he's driving home with him. Because they had a question. Hey, what about can we eat things that are offered to idols? And the issue was that some people thought that you could, some people thought you couldn't. The ones who thought that you couldn't were the weaker brothers. And he's saying you don't want to cause the weaker brother to stumble. So handle this in a way. You're at complete freedom, complete liberty to eat and drink what you want to. So you may have friends over that understand this kind of thing, and you drink and you eat what you want to. Then you may also have friends over, and we all probably experience this, to where you serve a different kind of drink at the meal. Because it's a different kind of friend. You know, they believe something different. And that's fine. You're walking in honor of their preferences, even though they actually are a weak brother and don't understand their liberty. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.